This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We're going to talk with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, regarding the mass shooting at the mall in Allen, Texas. And by the time this airs, who knows? Maybe there'll have been more of them. And we're talking like a 24-hour difference here. But I'm going to talk about that one because that's on the top of my mind at this moment in time. And as with all of these shootings, it's after the fact that we hear about, oh, well, they were really active in this group over here, or they were really big in that community over there. And it's usually some sort of hateful group. It's usually some sort of, I am deprived of something in my life, so I'm going to join a bunch of other guys that are also deprived of it, and we're all going to sit here and sulk on it together and blame everybody else for our problems type group. Oftentimes, it focuses on a race of people. In this case, we know the individual who carried out the shooting was Hispanic, but was part of a white supremacist group. We're also hearing bits that he may have been in line with incels as well. Incels, of course, the pathetic men that rather than maybe make some self-changes to attract women, they're just going to blame them for every single piece of society's problems and their own personal lack of ambition and ability to attract women, because it's their fault. It can never be introspective. My point being, Robin, we hear this all the time. They were in this group. They were in that group. Why is it so difficult, I guess, to infiltrate these groups or to be part of them, to see what they're up to before something happens, or even if you are in there and can see what they're up to? Maybe they're just, a lot of them not active. Maybe it's just kind of the odd duck that kind of comes out and actually acts out every now and then. You have far more insight into this area than I do. What are your thoughts?
So many nooks and crannies that you just brought up.
Yeah.
The first one, I do want to do a shout out, though. We have to. The officer that took down this shooter, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal that he was there on, and we don't know the details, at least as of now, we don't know the details of who it is they haven't released, but he was there on another call, and he ran towards the fire. He engaged it and saved even more lives. That to me is just tremendous. Sure. Again, it's an example of someone doing courageous acts. Now, to these groups, they're, what happens is, and I have someone coming on my show who's actually a reformed white supremacist neo-Nazi, and he goes through what he went through, and you can hear the same themes here in most of these groups, and that is he felt he came from a great family, and so you can't even judge it by a family background or upbringing. It really comes from that internal sense of feeling powerless and feeling disenfranchised, and as we've said numerous times, a wound collector. And if you're looking to feel like you need to have power in your life, and if you hit these groups will grab hold of you, they'll make you feel powerful. And in order to feel powerful, you have to do heinous acts against other people. And it serves that need that they weren't given at some point in their lives of feeling power and in control. And so how do we monitor these things? What do we do about it? We simply don't have resources, I don't think. I think, again, it goes to first the root of everything, that is society right now has a hard time with mental health and people solving challenges and problems in their lives in a healthy way because of having healthy connections. These things, I think, are growing in certain areas because we're seeing this aftermath of COVID lockdowns, of the mental trauma, and I think it's really exasperated things. And then when you have social media pitting people against each other because that sells ad space, and that, because again, you know, Robert Greene's work on, you know, laws of human nature, people love to consume information that validates their own self-opinion. And if you lock onto a self-opinion in some way that someone else is bad and you're right, you're just going to keep consuming it. And if we keep putting information out there that fuels that fire, these are horrendous things that will happen.
And this is the society that we live in now. It's constantly re-self-affirmation of whatever beliefs someone has, whether they're positive and wonderful beliefs or they're absolutely horrible and disdainful and are very dangerous towards others. They're all out there. And they're not that hard if one wanted to find a group that follows whatever way of thinking It can be done. And you're saying that there's just not enough resources. Is that a big thing for us with what we have in this country? Because I think sometimes it just in the civilian world, we have this delusion or illusion, if you will, of, oh, I bet there's, you know, FBI or CIA or Secret Service or somebody that's keeping an eye on some of these things. Is there just too many of them out there to monitor? Is there not enough resources where they have the manpower to allow these sort of things to be monitored on a better basis? Is there a way to improve any of this?
You know, the best way, and you're right, first of all, there's never enough resources. There's never been enough resources, because when you have a free society that is going to place money and resources in other areas of social causes, you're going to take it away from something else. But the way that you solve these problems is, let's go back to relationships. When I was in the FBI, we didn't have nearly the number of agents we needed to cover the world of counterintelligence that I worked to recruit spies. We didn't have nearly the number of agents to work all the violent crimes that there are out there. And the way we dealt with that in any situation at any point in time is you formed relationships with the community. Mm-hmm. We had tons of outreach programs. My job every day was to reach out for all my local clear defense contractors, make a relationship with them, make them aware of the things that could look a little different, might be coming at them from different countries that didn't have our best interests at heart. Same thing in our communities, making relationships with businesses, with leaders, having you around, being present. Doing what we call being a lighthouse, where people know where to go, who to trust, and having a good, healthy relationship so that people feel safe when they see something that looks a little sideways, that they won't be ostracized and ridiculed and canceled for saying something. Because that's what's going to eventually fix this problem. Well, part of it is when we have a good, healthy relationship with each other and with the people that can do something about it, that's the thing that's going to really start helping.
And I think that's probably something that scares people, too, with individuals like this. If someone has, you know, a cousin or a brother or whatever, someone in your family that, you know, is a little off, maybe into some things that are a little dark, quite often we see the people that sometimes point these people out. Well, they become the targets of these individuals because there's not often much that can be done to get these people taken away until they've actually committed some sort of crime. So I think there's a level of fear of like, I do want to say something, but I'd rather not put myself at risk because there's not a lot that really can be done in some of these cases. Is that a truth to some of this?
Yeah, it is. And one of my good friends, Dr. Chris Mahonda, he even says in his book, what is it right there? Evil Thoughts, Bad Deeds. Evil Thoughts, Evil Deeds. And he even says, you know, a lot of times you're not going to be able to do something yourself to fix it, but you can be a resource to get the people out of that situation. It's just people having courage to get themselves out of that situation. That's going to make all the difference. And the big thing, though, too, is that relationship with law enforcement, having good senior people. Is like I had so many people come up to me and say, Robin, I think this might be going on, but I don't know what to do about it. I said, well, that's why we'll look at it together. Yeah. We'll take it slowly. We're not going to ruin a life by conjecture. Don't share this with anyone that you don't think needs to know this, because that would ruin a relationship. It might ruin someone professionally or personally because it might be wrong. But we can do this. We can partner together. We can look at it together, and we'll take a good look at it. But most importantly, we're going to keep you and those you care about safe. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to.
What is done when there's a group or something like this that's out there that, you know, they have, they sit around, they chat, they do their thing of, you know, they hate. they hate this group of people. They hate that group of people. They commiserate on their misery. What can be done once, you know, if they can be infiltrated when these sort of things are out there? Is there much that can be done? Where does the breaking of the law come into place? Because obviously just technically hating somebody and complaining about them to other like-minded people isn't really a crime unless threats start happening. Walk me through that a little bit.
Well, there's probably a lot more being taken care of mitigated before that actually happens that we don't even know about, because what happens is we law enforcement does monitor a lot of groups. You monitor them online. And then when we have confidential human sources that we have that have penetrated, that are on the inside, they're giving us the inside scoop of things. We know keywords. We know things to look for on social media that are triggers on things. And so there is a lot of things that are going on to help prevent even more heinous things from happening. I know on the counterterrorism side, there are people have no idea the number of things that are stopped every day. And I'm sure the same thing on the white supremacy side or the hate group side. There's things that are being stopped every day. Unfortunately, you're not stopping everything. And so the only things we're seeing are the things that aren't being stopped. But that's exactly what's going on, though. We're getting inside sources. These groups are penetrated. And as a new one arises, we do all we can to try to get people on the inside. But it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of work. And it takes a good ability to have great interpersonal relationships and ability to communicate so that people can make people aware of what's going on. It's a huge job. Big responsibility,
sure.
But definitely worth it because it's a righteous cause.
On the outside looking in, it's easy for someone to say, well, just get more people in there. I imagine it has to be a very difficult type position to either move someone into. You need the right type of person, or even just hiring into a place like the FBI or something like that. It's probably not just like anyone who applies is really going to be super considered. I would imagine there's, you know, some serious, standings or some experience that need to be had for anyone to be able to go into groups like this or take on tasks like this.
It's a long process. So there's lots of different ways in which we do that. The easiest, there's no easy way to do this. The most effective, quickest way is recruiting sources from the inside. People that are on the inside that you've identified that might be slightly disenfranchised, but aren't on the radar of their own people. So you're going to try to recruit people on the inside first. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to try to infiltrate someone. And the first person you're going to try to infiltrate is someone that's just a regular civilian that might be interested, that can talk the talk and walk the walk and get on that way. And then if you can't do that, then you're going to escalate it up to doing an undercover operation with an undercover agent. So that's kind of the level of escalation you're going to try to do to try to get inside these groups.
How difficult is it to get a civilian or someone that's in these groups to essentially flip and to be an informant on things like this?
Very, very tough, very challenging. It really depends on, so we'll go back to the cult mindset, depends on how stringent and isolated the leader of these organizations keeps their people. The way you do it is just like when you do any sales job, really, you're trying to identify individuals that have priorities, challenges, and pain points in their lives that are not aligning with what the group is giving them. In other words, if you have someone that is part of this one of these groups, and because you're taking a look at everyone you possibly can as a possible source on the inside, and you identify a pain point of maybe, too much debt, a child is having a medical issue, a family member is having a challenge in life, something like that, where you can say, hey, this group might not be acting in your best interest in terms of what's going on in your life. If you want to give a hand here, this is a righteous cause to try to do something about it. So you're going to be kind of doing a simultaneous recruitment as well as you're doing a deprogramming of what's going on in their lives. And that's the only way I think you can really do something is identify people that are having new pain points and challenges that have arisen that you're going to have a communication with to say that, hey, this group is not serving the same need you thought it was. So like the individual I'm thinking of, when his daughter was born, his heart melted. And all of a sudden he started seeing, oh, I think what I'm doing here was a little off. Mm-hmm. And that started the process. And so what you're doing is you're looking for people that have had a change of something in their life that might cause a crack that we can kind of get into.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you so much for your insight. Greatly appreciate you coming on as always. Robin's website, peopleformula.com. Be sure to check that out. Hey, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.